Next time on Survivor Hacker Island, the Ubuntu tribe is having trouble working together when it comes down to the wire at the Hacking Reward Challenge.
Look, I know how to hack into this thing. Let me see the keyboard.
I got it. Just settle down, man.
Ugh! Man, you always think you run the show.
I'm going to run your show in a minute. And things get a little testy back at camp as well.
Hey, look, I made a full duplex modem with two coconuts, a palm leaf, and some bat dung.
Hey, that's great. Let's just hook it up to the phone line and call out. Oh, wait, we're on a frickin' island.
Look, I've been without my iPod and my podcast for 20 days, and I know my email is stacking up.
Yeah? Well, I've been without caffeine for 20 days. Let's see who's twitchy.
Outwit, outplay, and outhack. There can only be one survivor.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome to Technorama, the show where we know everything, and if we don't, we'll make something up for you.
You know it.
This is show number 92 for March 16, 2006. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man with the frog in his throat. It's Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Good, Chuck, and how are you?
Ribbit.
Ribbit.
No, hey, not a frog.
What was that froggy front on the Little Rascals.
What's the matter with the way I talk? My brother could do a better Froggy from Little Rascals than I could.
I have to listen to it.
Coming up tonight's show, we've got scary bovine news. Yorga shares some thoughts on Microsoft. We've got robot video and various and sundry geekery to come to calm your nerves, if that's what it does.
Or stir you up.
Or wind you up. We'll be back as he rolls his eyes on a podcast. Not very effective, is it? We'll be back after On This Day in Tech History. Stick around, won't you?
Yeah.
On This Day in Tech History for March 16th, 2006. This is March 16th, it's the 75th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 290 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1521 that Ferdinand Magellan reaches the Philippines. And in 1867, the first publication of an article by Joseph Lister outlining the discovery of antiseptic surgery in The Lancet. Robert Goddard launches his first liquid-fueled rocket on this date in 1926 at Auburn, Massachusetts. It reached a maximum height of 41 feet, went 60 miles an hour, and landed 84 feet away. Testing of the first V-2 rocket began on this date in 1942. Unfortunately, it exploded at liftoff. And on this date in 1963, Mount Agung erupts at Bali. 11,000 people died in that. Today was the date in 1966 that saw the launch of Gemini 8. This was the 12th manned American spaceflight and the first space docking with the Agena target vehicle. On this date in 1983 was the demolition of the radio tower Ismaning, the last radio tower in Germany built of wood. Looking forward on this date in 2880, this is the date of the potential Earth impact for asteroid 29075, better known as 1950 DA. Happy birthday on this date goes out in 1750 to Caroline Herschel, the English astronomer, and the German physicist, for whom we measure resistance. George Simon Ohm was born on this date in 1789. Happy birthday on this date to the cosmonaut Vladimir Komarov, born on this date in 1927. Also born on this date in 1932, Walter Cunningham, the American astronaut. And finally, Richard Stallman, founder of the free software movement, GNU, and the Free Software Foundation, turns 53 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for March 16th, 2006.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
There's no shame in feeding your inner geek.
That's right. Do it often.
And brush every time.
Afterwards.
And practice safe geekdom.
Keep your geek nice and clean and shiny.
You.
Have you checked your email this morning, Mulder?
No, why?
Because I received something unsettling and I wondered if you'd gotten it too.
What is it?
It's from Yorga. Every email is unsettling. No,
Yorga's the smoking man.
He's responding to our email about acronyms, or the comment we made on show number 91. He says, ATM isn't just for automatic teller machine or asynchronous transfer mode. It's also for at the moment, if you're, you know, one of those chat kind of people that uses LOL a lot. And then he goes on to say...
It also stands for any tech midget.
What?
It's a lesser known acronym. Go ahead.
You're quite. And what about extensions? Yeah. What the hell does RAR stand for? Is that the sound you make when you lose a file? RAR!
Okay. RAR, I don't get it. I can get zip and I can understand tar, but...
Tar is tape archive. R is retarded archive. Right?
Something like that. Reverse.
Retro?
Yeah. There
you go. You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
She lies,
hey,
there's only one. Who's
listening to the show? Hey, I got the phrase for you. If it's CGI, I'm your guy. I've also got a memo, if I can find it, that will make you acronymous. Bye. Oh, it's Bruce, by the way. Bye.
Bruce, we didn't need your intro, but yeah, we figured it was you. Acronymous. Is that a real word?
It is now.
Acrimonious?
It's in the technology.
Agrophobic?
Dictionary.
No.
Yeah. we'll put, I mean, hey, let me write that down.
In the technology dictionary. Yikes. We've got something else about acronyms coming up in just a little bit. Oh, what the hell? I'll go out of order. Inspired by listener Dean, I've put together an acronym dictionary in the wiki. If you go to the main page in the fun and games section, you'll see our acronym dictionary. It's just getting started. A few people have picked up on it because they get the RSS feed, and we've got things like CD, standing for about three or four different things, ATM. You don't have to pick a conflict if you just want to put in a geek term that stands for something. Oh, man, if you guys are playing along with the drinking game at home, every time we use an acronym, take a drink.
Yeah, the any tech midget.
Any... Technorama, the show with a toy prize inside. They're all highly egg-shaped. With me, way out on the corner of Geek Street and Nerd Boulevard, is my co-host, Craig Stapp.
Hey, Chuck, I'm open. Over here.
Go long. Go really, really long. We want to thank Mark Shepard for his donation to the tip jar.
See, I thought he was a dog.
Magnets and electronics don't go together. How right you are.
I did a service call, and this woman said her floppy disk wasn't working.
That's enough of these podcasts. Well, that was supposed to be the typewriter. Did you hear it?
What?
Our typewriter needs repair.
Yeah, apparently.
Do it again. There
you go. Much better.
It's time for the news.
Yes, and welcome to the news.
McAfee updates. McAfee update exterminates Excel. And, this was.
What's the problem?
Oh, I'll tell you what the problem was. You know what was funny is I have personal experience with this. Well, it's not funny. I didn't even hear about this, but it came out on the 10th, which was last Friday. Yeah, Friday. I'm doing the
mental
math.
It came out Friday,
Came out Friday. They put out a virus signature, and it obliterated Excel.exe or quarantined it, whichever way you have McAfee set up. Oh, and graph.exe, two critical pieces for Microsoft Office, if you know, if you're wondering. And it was signature, I believe, was 4915. And about 100 people, individuals and corporations, called in really fast and said, you got a problem. They make this mistake about once a quarter.
They do.
Yes, it's just not as obvious as Microsoft Office. But there's always some little third-party app that's kind of getting blasted or quarantined. And they have to make a random quick fix about once a quarter is what the article said. Well, I didn't hear about this because our signatures in are done with an EPO agent, which means they get collected to a central server. We test them out for a little while. Then we deploy them globally. In the time that they came in, McAfee had already patched it. And
yeah, it was like a 2 or 4 hour window that they actually had this available, right?
Yep. Well, what happened, I was talking to my coworker in Malaysia last night, getting our weekly one-on-one update meeting, and I said, hey, how's it going? What have you been spending your time on for the last few days? He says, I've been reinstalling Office because McAfee blew away. I went, what are you talking about? He said, yeah. I said, no. I got to check into this. Well, it turns out that our Malaysian office is not on our EPO server. They're kind of doing their own thing. So about 16 of their machines got hit.
You know, I think Lance over at the Digital Experience Podcast, I think he actually had the similar experience. Somebody he knows said, dude, my Excel got wiped or something like that. And it turns out it was McAfee or something.
Well, you know what? That's why they call it a corporate standard in my book.
What, Excel?
No. Why we have a corporate server to deploy those signatures. You know, we're not just deploying any old patch every time and virus signatures. If this happens once a quarter?
Well, you know, in theory, updating your signatures is great. But yes, to be honest with you, I never heard of this problem until this last time this happened on Friday.
That's pretty bizarre. When did you hear about this? When did you grab this story?
Oh,
Monday?
Yeah, because I didn't really read my feeds much. So, yeah, I think it was sometime Monday.
That's just too weird. I'm really glad we didn't get hit on a larger corporate scale. Really, really glad.
Hey, guess what? Windows has been quarantined.
Yeah, Windows. System32.dll. Wonderful.
Hi, this is Larry.
And this is Paul.
From Paul.com Security Weekly. You can reach us at Paul.com.com. That's PAULDOTCOM.com. Your source for IT security news, vulnerabilities, and research.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp.
Damn it, Jim. Take me back to the podcast.
Captain, I can't hold it any longer.
I got to go to the bathroom.
Captain, pull over.
You got to find a restroom.
Just use the transporter and we'll just beam it out.
Into the hacks and strange stories. We found an interesting video at YouTube. It's called the Mixed Reality Interface.
Yeah, did you get a chance to look at this thing?
I did get a chance to look at it. It's another one of these interesting, what do you call them, tactile interface things where you touch and things on the screen change.
Yeah, there's a board that has like solid objects sitting in front of it, and there's a screen, like a monitor sitting right on the, you know, one of the opposite edge from you, and on the monitor screen is these objects, and they are tied to the smaller objects that are physically in front of you. You can just move them around, pick them up, little blocks. It was like kids' toys, and one represented like a hot air balloon or something, and it would move. One represented a light source, and the other one was a camera, and all of the objects in the monitor were not only positioned properly wherever you move them, but also oriented. So, like, if you turn the front of the little one of them was like a little camera.
Mm-hmm.
You turn the block look like a camera around, and the lens would move on the screen, your point of view.
So there had to be, you know, like three magnets or something on the bottom. My problem with that video, you said one of them was a hot air balloon, and they were moving this thing vertically while the others were moving around in two dimensions on the surface. How are you putting something? You can't put two things in the same space, basically. Let's say you wanted to take the little rubber ducky, and you wanted to put it under the hot air balloon. While on the screen, the hot air balloon is suspended in the air, but in front of you,
block and set one on top of the other.
Then you're losing contact, and it won't know the orientation of the balloon.
No, you can pick those things up, because if you look at the end of the video, the guy picked one up and looked at it, and if you look on the screen, it raised up till there was a point where it didn't let you, you know, went out of its field, and then he put it back down.
All right, how much have you had to drink?
What are you talking about?
I want to see if you can stretch your imagination to find a practical use for this interface.
Let's see, practical use, surgery.
Surgery. Maybe. You want to watch the surgery on TV?
Yeah, well, they're already doing surgeries over the internet.
Right, and they're using Windows machines, which gives a whole new meaning to blue screen of death.
You know, I don't want surgery over the internet. I don't care. I'm just saying. I don't know, maybe...
But the surgeons are cheaper in other countries.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't think of anything right now.
That's why I wanted to see how much you had to drink. Sometimes, you get real imaginative.
Hmm. Wait a minute. You could have a six-pack of bottles sitting there, and you can move them around.
And I think on the last show, we had a story about a Roomba hack, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This time, we've got
this one's even better.
Two more Roomba stories. The Roomba is that little robot that goes around vacuums your floors for you. What is it, about 12 inches or so in diameter?
Yeah, about, I guess. Like a pizza.
We've got one. Tell them about the first set of photos.
Well, the first one, this is Phil Terone and his entourage from over at Make Magazine. They actually dressed one up as Frogger. They made a little outfit to go over the top of it,
mm-hmm.
and actually sent this thing across the street.
A real street?
Traffic. Yes.
Did it get hit?
Yes, it got run over by an SUV at the end. Poor thing. He's walking off with it. Looks all sad, like he's filtering, like he's going to fix it or something.
Well, it explains that it's filter-owned, because in the first picture, there is a Make magazine in the background.
Oh, yeah, of course. But, they're using a laptop. Somehow they're controlling it, and they were trying to get it across the street, and an SUV ran over it. Poor thing.
Did we give a shout-out to the chat room?
No, but we will in just a minute. Go ahead and go on to the next Roomba Pool.
The second one is Roomba Pool, and this one is a link to magazine.com. They've modified a couple of these to play pool. They actually have them on a billiard table. And do they push the balls around, or do they have sticks? I didn't quite get the gist of how that all happened.
It's his first ever human versus autonomous hacked pool-playing Roomba. The human controls the Roomba and tries to get the pool balls in there before the program robot does.
Now, the Roomba is on the table.
There's two of them.
What do you do if the ball hits the robot?
Oh, I don't know. It just says the human controls the Roomba and tries to get the pool balls in before the program. I mean, you don't play by pool rules. It's trying to get all the balls in there.
Just push them into a corner.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go on to the next story, we have to take a moment of seriousness before we go on, because the next story is very serious. Shout out to the chat room. We've got Beaker One, Chad, Dahoov, Deck, East Bay Aunt Joni in New Hampshire, K.O., Madtown Aces, which would be Adam Raymer, Mark Shepard, Mike McBride, the former one-man IT shop. Now he's, out of the frying pan and into a cube?
Yep.
Missing Intellect, Philip from Australia! Woohoo! All the way from down under. Southern Harmony, not as southern as Philip, but close. Stingray 42, Tim Elliott, the D-Man, which would be Lance Heath, the digital man. Victor Cahiao, and Zahadoom. And Scott R. just joined. He must be done with his Penang, Malaysia call. Welcome back, Scott. He's the host of our audio stream.
Yeah, welcome, Scott. Yay.
Yay to Scott. And I think Victor is actually reflecting the feed.
I think Shepard was, too. I don't know.
That'd be cool. Then we don't need as much feed. Place.
We're worldwide, baby.
Because there were a couple of people who could not connect for some reason. Now, I need to play an audio clip for you. This is serious business, particularly since I live in Wisconsin and cows are a major source of industry around here.
So how do you feel about these aliens from outer space abducting your cows?
You feel like you're violated. That's the way I feel.
I'm at a loss of what to think, you know. You educate yourself to know what's going on, and when something like this, I mean, alien abduction, you're thinking, what is going on?
You know, I'll label them as thieves, because as far as I'm concerned, they're thieves.
We have people on the premises 24 hours a day to look out for cattle terrorism. You know, that's a new word now.
So what are the farmers doing to protect the cows from being abducted?
Everybody's got their own little, what they think is their own way of handling the situation. So there's a lot of theories out there, but none of them are going to do any good.
I was one of the first guys to completely roll out the idea of a cow disguise. I thought of the idea one morning, and within about 2 weeks, we'd put antlers on all 700 of our dairy cows.
I make fun of the antler guy. My neighbors make fun of the antler guy. He's a real easy guy to make fun of.
I'm thinking, man, he's just beating his head against the wall because that is ridiculous. It's not going to solve anything, you know. I'm not going to tell him that, you know, because I think it's a little rude. But
6 months ago, I'd have said the antler guy was nuts. But lately in the dairy business, it's been like Halloween out there. There's been some crazy get-ups. Our approach is basically what you can't see, you can't steal. So I've been making these grass outfits for the cows. And at the end of the day, it just helps me to know that I've done something to help the cows' chances.
Now, I hope you listened real close. There is a big problem with cow abductions, and we at Technorama have several solutions proposed. As all of you are aware, RFID tags are real big, so we're going to start proposing that all the farmers tag their cows. That way they'll know when they're coming in and going out, and if any do get abducted by aliens, they will be able to track them as well. We also have adapted the, if you remember a few years ago, there were those things that you could put on your bumper that scared the deer away. They had ultrasonic noise, and apparently the deer could hear them.
The wind would make the noise. Yeah.
We've been selling those to the aliens, telling them they will keep deer away. They put them on the bumpers of their spacecraft, and the cow will actually run away before they get there. So the cows are safe because they think they're scaring deer away when in reality they're scaring cows away. The other thing is we've talked to the financial institutions, and the cows are being fitted with dye packs. So if you do see a purple alien, you'll know he was involved with a cow abduction. Or
as long as they weren't purple to begin with.
Thank you. We've also got the option for orange dye packs.
So hey, you know, I was also thinking of GPS cowbells.
Yes. How about those little sticks that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago? Those little things, we're going to put them in the backpack so you could
exactly
track the GPS. Awesome. Although there is the issue that once they leave the orbit of the Earth, GPS isn't going to do much good at that point. But you'll be able to track where the cow went until it leaves the orbit. So that's our solution to the cow abduction thing.
We'll pass those along to those guys.
Thank you.
So what is the Buckeye Drive Time Podcast? It's probably easier to talk about what the Buckeye Drive Time Podcast doesn't have. I don't have an open microphone while I'm playing a novelty song so that everybody can laugh in the studio and let you know that it's supposed to be funny. I don't have an intern that I send out into the world to publicly humiliate by wearing a costume or asking ridiculous questions of passers-by. I don't have any hookers or escorts or strippers in the studio. Joy said no, but you do get a quick Ohio moment, a fact or piece of information about the center of the universe, occasionally sports from Mike Castrodale, three Pod Save songs, and three podcast promotions, and something else here and there when I feel like throwing it in. At the end of your drive, you should feel like you've had fun, been entertained, or a little bit more intelligent. The idea is to be an alternative to the regular morning zoo type drive time that Clear Channel has been pushing on you for years. So check us out at www.buckeyedrivetime.com, and if you like what you hear, go ahead and subscribe, and we'll do our best to help you keep it groovy.
Now, I don't have a What the Chuck, but I do have a What the Yorga. But since Yorga doesn't have his own little lead-in, we're going to play mine anyway.
What the Chuck? What's up with that?
Hi, Chuck. You were asking for audio comments. I don't really have anything to comment on the show, but I would like to just talk a bit about Windows Vista. What the hell was Microsoft thinking with it? They were going to release with all these features and eye candy, that's useless by the way, and with like for example the Windows the file system they were going to add with would use MySQL to store file names and so forth. Actually, and they removed stuff like that, but actually they just kept the useless eye candy, and so they can make the release date by the end of the year. So actually I really don't see what this is going to be like. They were trying to make a great operating system, and some of these, in my opinion, were good, but all the things they said, yeah, that's nice, they removed those, and basically we'll be left with yet another XP with a new skin, and that will be it, you know. Flashy new icons, a bit of transparency, and that's it, and probably take more system resources and XP does for no real reason. You're right, maybe you want to have your browser flash close in a nice movement, but I would just like click gone, that's what I would like. But yeah, so I was wondering what your opinion would be on that. But should Microsoft have waited longer and say we'll push the release date back, say, to 2012 and give us a great operating system, or should they do like they do now, just creating basically crap again? Well, that was about it. Why?
Thanks, Yorga. Gotta watch the bump in the microphone. Yeah, this kind of thing makes a lot of noise on the podcast.
Doesn't matter. Hey, I agree with them though, because I mean, they're just loading up with a bunch of eye candy, and they end up being the same thing.
Yeah, they just made another announcement. What was it? They took something out this week, and everybody's going, what's left?
Yeah.
What is left?
Well, you know what gets me is they kept saying, oh, we wrote this from ground zero all the way back up. That's full of crap, because remember we had that that back door with the GDI thing not too long ago?
Yep.
And then they had the same thing in Vista, in the betas, same issue. I was like, well, see, nothing was rewritten. They just restarted it. That's all they did.
We're waiting 4 years, and this is what we got. I mean,
if they rewrote it, they wouldn't have had that problem.
And now, into the Geek Library.
Yeah. This first one is a video over at Google Video of Ryan versus Dorkman.
Ryan versus Dorkman.
Okay.
And what are they doing?
The title doesn't give it justice, but they are lightsaber fighting.
They did an awesome job of this.
They did do an awesome job. Those guys just, that was better than some of the lightsaber fights in the movies.
It wasn't just, you know, hanging on to two-fisted. I mean, they got real creative and reversed it and stuff. I thought the ending was a little cheesy with the, you know, trying to grab the one lightsaber.
Hey, spoilers, man.
Oh, yeah. Let me just paraphrase Witch Hazel. Silly me, I had the thing in reverse. That'll give you a clue how it ends.
Yeah. But it was really good, though. It was really, even the end, I thought it was good.
Next one, we found the ultimate gamer machine.
Yeah.
Not only is this a wonderfully fast gaming machine, but it serves Mountain Dew.
Awesome.
It's got a soda dispenser built into the case.
You know what? Too bad that this it didn't run the Mountain Dew through the CPU cooler.
Ew, then it would come out warm, dude. You'd be drinking warm Mountain Dew.
Not if you ran it through the heat sinks first. And anyway, maybe we'll work on that.
Are you trying to... And finally, we've got a PC made entirely of Legos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I think it's just the case and the keys and the mouse that's made in of Legos, not the actual CPU and RAM and things.
Yeah, I think it would be too big.
Talk about your clickety clack keyboard.
But it is cool. The PC Magazine got Nathan Swaway. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, but they got him. They commissioned him to build a PC out of Legos, and he did. And then it wasn't operating, and then they turned around and said, what if you were to do this and make it a working computer? So he's actually in the process of doing that now. And they're going to give it away on PCMag.com.
Ooh. Any idea what it's worth?
What it's worth? No, but I'll tell you what it's got in it. It's got... two CD drives, the 17-inch LCD monitor. It said it's going to have a ton of USB ports. It's going to have a 2 gigahertz processor, 512 meg of RAM, and all the other good standard stats. That's what it says right there.
All I can think of when I see a Lego machine and then you say it has an LCD monitor is like the old Apple II graphics where it was like 40 blocks by 80 blocks. Ooh, you can play Breakout!
Well, actually, if you go look at it, you'll see that it looks like one of those Dell monitors. Actually, it looks like just like the one I've got on my desk. And he's got it encased in Legos. And the fake one's just got a yellowish fade going up. But he has one that does work, and you can see it work. It's pretty cool.
Neat. Hey, this is the night where we draw the final prize from the Griffin bag. Thank you very much to the good folks at Griffin Technologies. We are giving away an iTrip Nano. And earlier... And
I pulled the names out. Wait a minute. Pulled the names out and...
We put the names in the hat, and Lisa pulled one out a while ago when she was in here, and the name is... That's the wrong drum roll.
It works then.
Okay. The name is... We pull it out. Mark Shepard has won himself an iTrip Nano. Congratulations, Mark.
iTrip Nano.
iTrip Nano. What did I say?
No, I was just making sure you didn't...
I didn't say what I said the first time, and people started entering for an iPod Nano.
You got one of every iPod that they've ever made. Yay. Kidding.
Yay.
So there you go. Welcome, Shepard.
And with that...
And now, the end is near.
And we won't sing any Elvis.
Hey, listen, guys. Hey, listen up.
I'm listening.
Don't forget... Show 101 is coming. We want your audio clips.
Send them to chuckchat@gmail.com. That would be best.
That would be a good idea.
You don't need to be 18 or older to apply. No credit card necessary.
But you do have to listen to this show.
If you want to contact us, the listener line, as always, is 206-222-CHAT. You can email me with just regular, good old, average, everyday text messages, chuck@chuckchat.com. Or again, send those audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com, because the other mailbox is kind of small, and Gmail isn't. Craig is Craig, K-R-E-G, @chuckchat.com. Somebody actually asked me about that today. They said, what was Craig's email address again? And I said, we say it at the end of every show. He goes, yeah, but I'm usually asleep by that point.
Hey.
Just
who was it? Give me his name.
Pass on that feedback. No, he shall remain anonymous. I'm acrimonious.
Okay.
I like that word. It's big. The website is always chuckchat.com for forum swag, webcam, mail list, links, pretty pictures of naked women. No, who put that in there?
I don't know, but I'm going to check it out.
This show is a member of Friends in Tech.
Oh, yeah, you're putting me to sleep now.
Don't do the show sober. It doesn't work. This is why Craig usually does the ending of the show. And
but maybe I'll start again this Sunday if I can start talking right.
If you're getting the show by clicking on the link on the website, consider subscribing and getting the show automatically delivered to you for free, free, free! Drop either one of us an email if you need more information on how to do that. You know what that music means?
It means take a drink.
Oh, there's an idea. Hear the drum beat, take a drink. Say an acronym, take a drink. That takes care of show number 92. Thank you for listening. Take care. What's the words? Let's do this backwards.
Less filling tastes great.
No, you tell me what the magic words at the end of the show are. Hurry, the end is coming. It's right there around
uno,
the corner.
Uno, dos, uno, zero, uno.
Give me a binary high five in English, please.
101.